Well, it was 3 minutes after.
Okay, Father, again, we're so thankful that we have so great salvation, so good a God, and for all of the benefits that are ours because we're in Christ. We're thankful that in our salvation you didn't leave us helpless in this world, but you gave us the capability, because of the provisions of grace, to not only overcome our own sin nature and Satan, but also overcome the world system. So may you direct as we continue in these studies tonight, and then we'll be grateful. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, we've got 103 pages of notes, so we have, and 2 hours to cover the last five, so that's not bad. On it, I did something last night, which made me proud of myself. I did, how many pages did I end up doing in the Kingdoms class? I think I did about 8 pages. But I set it up so I could fly, so. Anyway. Okay. We're on page 98, and we're on letter E, according to my connote. And we're in 1 John 2:16. And when we talk about the world system, we have to recognize how important this verse is, because it describes for us the various directions that the world system will relate. We've talked about how it relates to the sin nature and how it tries to manipulate the sin nature and to draw it out as an appeal and to move in that direction. It becomes a soulish thing. It's interesting. Satan attacks through the spirit, the sin nature through the soul, and the world system kind of combines both of them in there its own way. And so it's really rather more subtle because of that. Because it will stimulate your feelings, or it will stimulate your rationale. And so you have to be pretty careful with it. So 1 John 2:15 says, stop loving the world system. And we'll talk more about this a little later, but when it says stop doing something you're doing. It indicates you have agape love. So you're spiritual. So the issue of the world system is for spiritual believers. The minute that you succumb to the world system, we run into the first element, because it will very easily move you into carnality, because if you love it to that point, it moves into the realm of your flesh. The attraction is a misdirector. It takes our love and places it on the wrong object. You can't love one another when you're loving the world system. Your love for the Father is not there. Your love for Jesus Christ, and we can understand that as John, 1 John in particular. And so he says, stop loving the world and the things that are in the world system. The world system is composed of stuff. All kinds of stuff. These neutral kinds of things, neuter things. What are these things? I mean, you look at the world system, but that's why 16 is here. 16 helps us understand what these things are, because of the design that is within them. And so he says, stop loving it, because he says, if any man is loving the world system, his love for the Father isn't there, because he's directing it to someone else. And so he says, you don't have that kind of love. Now he's going to explain. And the explanation, he uses what we call a haughty clause. It's a because. This explains why. It's a little stronger than the little particle gar, which is also translated for. They're just a little stronger form. Because all that is in the world system, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the vainglory of biological life. So we have these three items. The world system is designed in relationship to the strong desires of the flesh. And we've talked about it. It's designed to curb. It's designed to confine the sin nature. And that works on unbelievers, because if they had a were free of any restraints, they would become as bad as or worse than Sodom and Gomorrah, because they had no restraints, though the world system was there. I mean, they had kings, and the kings can control the sin nature. And so we understand a little bit of it. So you have the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. That appeals through the eye gate. Today, it's bigger than just the eyes. It affects your hearing, your ears. You can hear things. They didn't have the same kinds of things available, because we have technology that permits us to hear things that will control us. And so the repetitiveness of the world system as it is now related to our hearing, you can hear the same thing over and over, and it's interesting how we get hooked if we are real involved with it on, let's just say, music. And you suddenly start thinking this song is going through your head, and the lyrics you cannot understand are kind of popping in. You don't know the in-between things because you can't understand the words. And that starts cycling through your mind, and then suddenly you find out what the words in between are, and you're hooked. And the reason you're hooked is because you can't get it out of your mind, and you don't want to think those thoughts. But the world system is designed that way. And it was interesting, is he a rapper? Can't remember. He's one of those kind of guys. He was running in a speedboat. You know, I think it was in Florida. And hit a bridge abutment. And he's been in critical condition. And I don't follow that at all. But it was interesting that in the Oregonian entertainment section, I even read that, I get bored. Anyway, they said that he was different than most of them. And the reason he was different was that he used better language than the norm. He didn't use vulgarisms. He didn't use off-colored things of any kind. And so he was very different. And he'd had a top song, and I don't even remember his name, but he was moved into the critical care unit, I guess, yesterday. And I guess I didn't know anything about it, but it was so interesting because I did read those lines of commentary. But here in the world system, people who have trained ears to hear noticed that he was not the kind of guy that was using that kind of stuff, and yet he had a hit because of it. And it was kind of an interesting little sketch, because, you know, for me, I wondered what his background was. I honestly wondered if he hadn't come out of the black church and done that. That circumstance. But that's hearing. I mean, that was distinct enough for people to know that he was not the hoi polloi, the normal kind of guy when it came to this stuff. And so we have the ear problem, and we'll get into this a little bit further as we go. And then this vainglory of biological life, that is physical life. And we'll talk about that as to what that word means. It's this idea that we have in the King James of pride of life. It says it's not of the Father, but is of the world. And we'll talk about that shortly as we get there. The lust of the flesh. The world system can control any of the acts, any of the works of the flesh. It can direct them. Now, the way it directs them, it doesn't shut them off. It just puts a cap on. So there's enough gratification from that work of the flesh that you'll be satisfied, but you won't cross the bounds that will be unacceptable to Satan and his satanic system. And so, I mean, it's really interesting, and that changes in the system. I mean, the mores of the system in this area are very different than the mores of this system would be in Missoula, for example. Or, if you were to go to Kansas City, Lincoln, Nebraska. They're different things. And this area is, now if you go to San Francisco, then we have, you know, a pair of pontoons running the same boat plane, in a sense, almost, in that, because of what's going on. The world system has different sets of standards. I mean, there are things that happen here that people would have been shot for not that many years ago, in that matter, and it's not good. And it was interesting today, I happened to have my radio on, and they were talking about things to do this summer. And I had just read an article about a town in Colorado. I'm trying to remember which one it was. It doesn't make any difference. But it was, there's a loop that comes into one of the big ski resorts that this article was on, I'd read. And they had this bus that you can buy tickets on, and I don't remember, they're $60, $70 for this dilapidated little bus with cedar siding on it, and it goes to breweries. And it has six, I think, brew stops or something like that, so you don't have to worry about getting drunk and driving. Because this bus will take you right around, and what you pay for it is part of the bar bill, and so it's kind of funny. But it was interesting on the radio today. I heard exactly the same thing. The first thing was go to the water park in McMinnville. And that's going to be an interesting one. It opens Friday, I think. Maybe not. I don't know. It opens very shortly, within a week.
Is it indoor? Partially.
Part of it is, yeah. They have water slides that are attached to the tail section of an old 747. And, you can see the tail section looks like it's outside. And I think there are three or four slides. And one of them, what do they call it, nosedive. So that's going to be probably a pretty fast slide. But that was the first thing you mentioned. They've been pushing it pretty hard on it. I thought, yeah, now it's going to deter me from wanting to go back down there again right away because of the other potential crowds and that. But it's interesting, that water park, perfect thing for the vacation time. You don't send the kids to camp, you take them to the water park. You know, it's this idea. And that is to keep them under some control. Keep them away from evil influences, and this will be supervised and the whole thing, and the world system will do that. But the other thing, the next thing on the list was this, where was it, Bend, where you could go over there, and they had a bus that you could ride to four of the microbreweries. And I thought, oh, I just read about this in Colorado. And, you know, you don't get drunk. In fact, I think in Bend they said you could rent a bicycle and go from one brewery to the other, and they wouldn't arrest you for drunk driving. But I don't know about that. I think if some of those guys have been riding lawnmowers have been arrested for drunk driving. Just mowed down a couple fire plugs. No. I'm still trying to... I guess I have to wait till tomorrow. Maybe they'll make the paper. We've been watching when we walk over at the Beehive Alzheimer's unit over on Hawthorne and, what is it,
26.
26 is clear down. Mm-hmm. 19 Pacific,
21st.
Yeah. So anyway, these guys are out there working all week, a week ago. They put in a nice big pad, and they put these brick things, and I think they designed to put a signs up. But they spent all this time, and they were probably there 3 or 4 days. And we walked by on Monday, and somebody had not negotiated the turn and put down both of them. And so, you know, we had to speculate. You know, was somebody not using the world system didn't handle this? Were they hit it drunk? Or were they an illegal driving a car that didn't know what they were doing? Or was it just an accident? But the world system is designed to control that kind of thing. You can just go down the list of the works of the flesh. And I've gone through on page 100 in a comparative chart of how elements of the world system can control certain works of the flesh. I mean, you have government across, and you have human commerce, and you have amusements, you can secular education. I don't need to comment on this human moral religion, the senseless warfare kind of thing. I don't know whether these paintball outfits deal with senseless warfare. When I go out to eat, sometimes I end up driving by. When I go over to Genghis Khan, I come in the back ways, and there's a paintball outfit where they have it in one of those plants. Well, sure, we're kind of over there by Rogers, Oregon, along that whatever street there is. Along where didn't you work over in that direction by the airport long ago?
Yeah.
Long, long ago.
Yeah.
Too long for you to remember. That might be the building even where they're doing the paintball thing.
Really?
I don't know. It was just awful lot of big vacancies along there. So they must be getting a deal on it. But, I say, does this fit? I guess you can take care of some of your aggression, but I guess you get hit by those paintballs just right, it can be a little sore. industry. So, that chart, I think, is kind of just all it is to stimulate thought. That's what I'm trying to, with my notes, I try to stimulate thought, give you a place to go to think about things. So let's go back and look at the lust of the flesh in order. And I want to just hit some of these on 98. It attracts, the world system will attract, it will get your attention, and then it will try to pull you into its control. We can live independent of the world system because we are in law to Christ and we don't have to be involved with the normal, unless they're stupid, unless they're really off-the-wall regulations. Government generally doesn't infringe on our rights as Christians. They're trying, they've been trying for years, and they haven't gotten to where they could in our country. They're working on it. They made the guy that prayed at Arlington not use Jesus' name. They compromised and let him read the disciples' prayer. Yet, you know, an Islamist could use Allah and all of that. You know, it just tells you how bad things are in the world we're in. But so it's just trying to pull us into control. And so as an unbeliever, a carnal Christian can be just totally overwhelmed by all of the things of the world and find gratification there. And I could go through a list, but I'd be meddling in many ways of the ways it'll happen. I mean, the world system is designed to handle the sin nature of the youngest child almost to the oldest adult. And there are different things at different stages of development that are useful. I think about teens and 20s and electronics. The cell phone issue. I can't believe but the amount of money these kids carry around in the palm of their hand. And they want another one tomorrow. Because it's a better one than the one they have now. And these things, when I saw prices on those, I'm glad I don't look at prices. I mean, I don't have to buy my stuff. like that. I don't want a, didn't want a cell phone. My son thinks I need one. And I got a real expensive cell phone. And I had no idea what it was worth. I happen to know that it was, I got it 2 days after it was released. And if he doesn't get me a card for it, I'm going to be a very unhappy camper. It's a Garmin. And I mean, it can, I can punch the buttons in and it'll tell me how to get where I want to go. That whole GPS setup. And the best part of it was when I go to Bartimaeus, I fly in there early on Monday and I collect blind people. And they come in different airlines, and I usually have three or four of them that I have to hustle. And like I said, they're different airlines and different. This last time, they were all up, one of them was from a totally different gate. I walked over to that gate one time, and I could have ridden their tram, but it was a half a mile just to get into the gate. And but the cell phone, see, and this could be fun. It was fun in a way because it saved me all kinds of headaches. Everything flying into San Francisco was late. I was late. So I checked my first flight that I'm expecting in, and I can punch it into the cell, and the cell phone tells me what time it's due in and if it's and how late it is. So that helped me kind of correlate everything. And yeah, I mean, it was so interesting because, you know, there, some of them have a little bit of sight, some have none. Some have dogs, some don't. And so I get a call and tell them how to get to where they needed to be and where I'd meet them. And, I, you know, you can't go through security. Here comes this lady I'd never met before with a dog. I knew who it was in that matter. So the world system has got all this stuff that will appeal and will take your time on it. And it's just amazing how easily it does that. But the appetite of the flesh seeks for gratification from these things. And we get habits. You know, I mean, being saved young is not bad because you don't get the world system habits like you had before. And some folks really have a lot of problems because they are used to doing things before they were saved that weren't necessarily wrong, but they were world system, and they were things that took time that they didn't need to waste. You know, I mean, it was just the way it was. And so past life affects it, and it's interesting how in 2 Peter 2, and we're going to get down to verse 18 someday if the Lord doesn't come, and we get down to 18, we find out these false teachers are trying to use the world system to trap the lust of the flesh. So they have to, in some way, use the world system to make somebody carnal, and it'll trap them. And Satan evidently has part in that. Some of this thing of ensnarement, I think, involves his manipulation of the world system. And that's down in 2 Timothy 2:26 in that matter. And so we know there's an ongoing conflict between the soul and the spirit. But everywhere you go, you've got this third entity that's trying to get your attention. And it works. I mean, I'm so sensitive to what's going on around me. I mean, I'm pretty aware. And if I see a movement back here, I mean, there's movement, and it's on the back side of my peripheral vision. You know what automatically happens? I've got to turn my head and see what it is. It's just, you know, I'm not sitting against the wall in a restaurant or anything like that. You know, that technique is an old spy master's technique. Watch the door. And but these things can distract. And the world system's designed to do that. And we need to remember that. And the world system just can contribute on the side of the flesh in the conflict between the Holy Spirit and the flesh. Again, remember there's no tie score between the Holy Spirit and the sin nature. No. Holy Spirit is with us in there. I mean, when we're living in that realm, he always wins. He never loses. And we don't lose. But if we let the world distract us, it's just one of those elements that will pull us into our sin nature. And we'll grab a lust, gravitate toward a lust, and the world system, and it'll sneak us in. We won't even know that we've been drawn into it. And it's really, really hard to figure that out sometimes. And you know your susceptibilities, and I know my susceptibilities. And the other day I got a book catalog. And I know my susceptibilities. And I saw this book. And I thought, you know, that would really be an interesting book, and I wasn't going to find it in any library locally. And it was an Oxford University book list. So it's even harder. I mean, I can't get it off the Light, Scripture, Truth, or as it was in there. Secular thing. Oxford's intriguing me, some of the things they're doing. And it was on Baptists. And it was a directory of a sort to Baptists throughout the world and many history of each part of the world. You know, the Baptist in Oceania, down in the South Pacific. You can see what I did. I saw it in the catalog. I hopped on Amazon. I wanted to see what it cost. And then I wanted to see what it said, so I looked through the table of contents. Now, was that the world system? I think it probably very definitely was. It wasn't something I needed. I could justify it easily because I do have an interest in Baptist history. But not for $40, I didn't. But I went that far, and I could do that rather quickly. So, if I hadn't tried to think of an illustration, I would have forgotten it almost because I decided it wasn't worth the money for me to gratify my appetite for some information. I haven't kept up with my Baptist, contemporary Baptist history like I could have, so I justified it. Okay, the lust of the eyes, and that's the sight. I always remember people calling this the eye gate. And we could say the ear gate. And so it brings pleasure in through what you see. And there's nothing wrong with our eyes. I mean, yeah, in the millennial kingdom, or coming into the kingdom, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. But it's kind of interesting, you realize that they were doing that in Romans 1 was functional. If you took both eyes out, you wouldn't be able to observe the power and godhood if that happened. And, I mean, I think about that with these blind folks. I'm more prepared for down there, almost. I've got to look and see how much I have. I think I have 7 messages, I think, down there. So that always is a lot of fun. I'm glad they like me.
Well, they can't see you, so they can't complain, right?
No. Yeah.
Maybe you could disguise your voice on a couple of them, so they think they have it up in speaker.
They are really good at detecting voices.
They would be.
And it's so interesting. And there are times I'll walk up to somebody, I won't say anything, and I know somebody's there, and I won't say anything. And they'll say, "Who is it?" You know. And I just, you know, they can't possibly know. And finally I'll say something. And they'll think I'm giving them a bad time, which I am.
I say, would they be wrong?
On that. But this, what you see is designed for your desire. I mean, you look at marketing and the whole approach. Why do you have to walk clear to the back of the store to get a gallon of milk? No. You have to go buy everything else and they want you to grab something else because they know milk is pretty much a necessity. And you look at how they display. And it's having been in the retail business, we changed our headers you know, the head on the counter on the aisles on a pretty regular basis to fit the season and to fit the sales. If somebody came by and we had paint on sale and we had it on a header, I think it was funny, sometimes we went through so much paint that we would have almost three-quarters of a counter of paint stacked and dummy-fronted, so it looked like we had several thousand gallons. And it just was amazing, and then you put a sale sign out there. Man, it was funny how many people just they came putting in. Then we made our money off of sundries. You know, you got to have a roller, and if you don't have the right nap on it, and you've got to have all of this stuff. And so, I mean, that marketing is that way. And just look at ads. I was going through, one of the Budget Travel was a magazine I've been getting introduced to. I travel by proxy. I read it in the magazine and say I'll never go there, though it might be fun. And when I read it, I look at the ads, and there are times that I can't tell without looking at the bottom of the page what the ad is about, because they obscure it. They try to get your attention before you even have a chance to know what your attention is drawn to. And it's happening in the science magazines, too. It was really interesting how they do that. And what was it? There was a magazine, I think it was a camera. You know, a fancy Nikon or one of those, you know, several thousand dollar cameras. I thought it was an ad for the camera. It wasn't. It was for something else. But you could tell they were playing this game. So it's kind of interesting. Someday you guys need to take a class in logic. And when you take a class in logic, take a part of it that has logical fallacies.
We've been doing...
You've been doing some of that?
Critical thinking logic for years.
Yeah.
I always thought that was important.
Good for you. I had to smile.
They're much more logical than I am now. It's not...
Veritas has logic in their program.
Mm-hmm. They should.
Mm-hmm. They can't do it in the public schools, but... Because if they did it, they'd be smarter than their teachers. In that. But that fallacies... Yeah, I'm glad you've been doing that, because, I mean, when you look at an ad, that class ruined me for advertising, because you found so many logical fallacies, and it was a game we played. I mean, we had to bring lists of fallacies from all this different world system media, and by the time we got through ripping it up, there wasn't a whole lot we cared about on it. Okay, let's go down to the pride of life. The word that's translated pride is a word that doesn't occur very often. AV translates it that way. There's a bragging presumption that trusts in earthly things. And so the definition that Vincent has in his word studies in the New Testament is vainglory, and therefore an insolent and vain assurance in one's own resources or in the stability of earthly things. And that's why I put it in there. I thought it was a pretty decent definition. And, you know, just the word vainglory, we don't use the word insolent very often. But the word insolent, you're confident in something where you can have no confidence. And so you think everything's stable and it isn't. And so you're going to try to walk on water, and you can't. And this is biological life. I am just absolutely, totally intrigued with how the world system works with this. I'll mention it in a moment. James chapter 4 happens to be, there are two passages where you have, or three passages where this is related. It's worth our while to take a look at them. So James chapter 4 and verse 16, it's translated in the AV, boastings. So you get a flavor just by hearing that translation. It says, "But now you rejoice in your boastings, And it's this word in its root, or downpour. All such rejoicing is evil. And the word that's translated, they translated boast is, rejoice. It's the word boast. You boast in your, and so we have to go and look at this kind of a definition, at your insolence, your assurance, and your own ability. And he said, this kind of rejoicing is malignantly evil. And the world system is going to be contributing to that, that makes you feel so self-confident. So I think that's one of the worst things that world system can do. Make you so self-sufficient that you don't need God anymore. Or, and this is my last couple of rounds in Woodburn, if we get there, it will make you want to help God do what he wants to do in your life. Because you're so good. You're so confident. You're so capable. And so, when the Holy Spirit's trying to do something in your life, you have the capability of fine-tuning his work. That's what this is about. You know, and that's why it's so important to get out of the way. So he can accomplish what he wants. I'm trying to figure out how to systematize that material in a way. There's so much I can do that I don't have time to do. And I'm trying to get enough so that if somebody wants to go back and work it, they'll be able to do it. And like working passives. You have active voices with the word for grow, and you have a passive, be grown. And so it's interesting because that does tell us something about how it works. God grows us, and we take advantage of it, but we are doing it remotely almost when we understand it and these passives. Another one, and that's probably where I'm going to be in the next hour, is working the word form, morphao, that Christ may be formed in you. That's a passive. You can't form Christ in you. The Holy Spirit has to do that. The Holy Spirit has to do that, and he's the one that has to produce the fruit of the Spirit because it's a manifestation of the character of the persons of the Godhead, but with a focus on Christ. So you think about those. And so this is pretty important. I think it's something we miss often when we can understand the lust of flesh and the lust of the eyes, but we get in here, we neglect the fact that it goes beyond that. Now, the word boasters is the way it's translated in King James in 2 Timothy 3:2. Kind of an interesting little word study. Every time I have this bad habit, I can come up with more messages that I'll never use. And this happens to be one of those. 3:2 says, let's go back. In verse 1, this know also that in the last day perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters. Did I have the wrong verse? No, it's 2.
Yeah.
Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, to parents unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those which are good, and we go on, we won't. Have a similar list in 2 Peter 2. But you see, this idea of boasters, there's an arrogance that goes with it and this insolence that goes with it. Then the next passage is Romans 1:30, and we're acquainted with the results of the fall and depravity out of that passage, but it's also included in that verse 29 says, and being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, as always translated, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, so on and so forth. So you can see this word, it has this idea of thinking you're capable of more than you are, and that you are more the center of your universe than you really are. And so that's the way this focuses as we relate to it. Now we come to the word life, and it's bios, and that's biological life. That our word biology comes from it. Let's just say it's physical life. It's not spiritual life. Zoe can be used in that as well, or Zao. But this always is used in relationship to the existence of physical life. And we can't get away from bios. I mean, we have something that has a rather rhythmical activity in our life. And that's called our heart. And if it didn't work that way, we wouldn't be here, or we would die. And that's biological. I mean, that's part of this. And creature comforts. I remember reading of the kid they found in the Alps back, I think it was in the late 1800s. And he was, I say kid, he was in his late teens. And he'd lived in the Alps. And he was like a wild animal. And he didn't have any clothes. He ran around in the Alps all year round without any clothing. And people could not figure out how in the world he existed. He couldn't make a fire. He didn't know how. So he was called the wild boy, I think is what they ended up calling him. It was so different. But somehow... he had survived. No, he wasn't raised by wolves. But he had survived in some way and could live off the land. And he evidently was out there when he was very young. And it was quite an interesting scientific study as to how somebody, you know, if any of us were out in the Alps in winter and 8-foot snow banks, we didn't have any clothing of any kind, we would not know how to begin to survive in that, and hypothermia would take care of us very quickly in that. And so we are, I mean, that's an exception in many ways, but if you're cold, I mean, as I'm getting older, I'm finding things change. I have my pet peeves now about heat and cold. And I learned this winter that I'm very intolerant of having either cold air on my neck or cold rainwater on my neck. And so for that reason, I do carry, I mean, I do, when I know it's raining, I will have a hood because I just did, it drives me nuts. And that's creature comforts. That's biological life. You know, we all have our thing. Some people run cold. Some people run hot. And I've always been one that's run pretty hot. And what was it? I showed up at a prayer meeting some months ago at Dan and Kathy's, and I had a jacket on. I didn't think they were going to quit giving me a bad time, because I rarely would wear a jacket. Now I wear it a little bit more often. You know? And why am I saying all these things? Because there's Luke 8:14. There are certain comforts that we find, and this involves riches and pleasures, which provide creature comforts. And so Luke chapter 8 and verse 12 describes this. And it says, those by the wayside are they that hear that, then the devil comes, and this is the parable concerning the kingdom of God and the sower, and the devil takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear and receive the word with joy. And these have no root, for a while believe, but in the time of temptation or trial fall away. Verse 14, and that which fell among the thorns are they when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this bios, this life. That very idea. And bring no fruit to perfection. When I talked to Debbie, Tim didn't preach Sunday. He had gone to Cheney, where Eastern Washington, I've got to get out of Oregon, Eastern Washington University is, and their youngest is up there. And she'd been going to a church up there, and it's kind of been interesting because it was a church that is pastored by a, I won't say childhood friend of George. They went to high school together, I think. So Tim wanted to go and visit the church, and she was pretty happy with the teaching, and so he felt he'd like to go and took the day off to get the change in scenery. Well, the fellow that filled the pulpit for him is a missionary. I don't know what what he's going out under, but he's going to go to New Guinea. And they're going to a remote village, Papua or whatever it is,
New Guinea.
Yeah. And so they were going over there. And Debbie was talking about how they were 60% short the year. They've already got visas and stuff like that, so they're almost ready to go, but they need a little bit more support. But this is a young couple. I think they have 5 kids. Out in a village. Debbie says, I don't know. They're not even fazed by the fact they're going to be primitive. I mean, there's not going to be any kind of creature comforts to speak of. And so, in fact, right now, they're living with a family that's in the church. And both of them are probably running over each other. So it's really kind of funny in that matter. But creature comforts, world system, really start biological life. And we do well, in a way. I just finished a book on about Sitting Bull. That nomadic existence of the Indians under Sitting Bull. I mean, a huge number of them. They chase the buffalo, bison. Let's do it. And just, pull their teepees and their lodge poles and all of this along behind their horses and. Everybody, most of them would walk and they'd set up a place and it was a matter of life. They want to put them on a reservation? Yeah, they didn't want to go on that reservation. They wanted to chase food. And of course, the U.S. put them on a reservation, starved them to death. Almost. And so, it was interesting, they really broke the backs of the Sioux and they were the strongest tribe. In that, but we couldn't live like they did. We couldn't begin to. I mean, one day of camping is okay, or a week, or whatever. And we just are too in the rut. And I talked about the past life. I'm not going to 1 Peter 4:3, but I do want to go over to 3:17 of 1 John and relate to 1 John 3:17. Oops. I've been scrounging around in 1 John all day almost, it seems, for other reasons. But whoso has this world's good, and seeth his brother have a need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? And, it says, whosoever has this world's goods, and the word goods is bios. That which sustains biological life, physical life. And it's obvious this is dealing with food, and raiment. We're so amazing. We read the Old Testament, we find out, if a guy owes you money and you take his cloak as a payment, the Old Testament law had to say it's the only cloak he's got, then you have to give it back to him when he goes and needs to wrap himself up in it. I mean, that's, if you don't have something warm enough, you can put something else on top of it. because we're so well covered as far as our society. We are, I guess we just don't know how fortunate we are. 2 Timothy 2:3 talks about a soldier. And I think these folks that are going to New Guinea have the idea, you know, God's going to take care of them, of course, but I think they are ready to rough it because they're confident that's what God wants them to do. And they're ready for these kinds of experiences. They've been involved with other missionaries. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The idea of enduring hardness has the idea of being involved with that which is lacking in character. Kakos is part of the root with a soon in front of it. No man warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this bios. He's talking to Timothy, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And so that often, I know this passage is one that is often used of people who are in the Lord's work in many, many areas. 1 Timothy 2:2 ties this, and we'll be able to peg the bottom of this page. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. He says, and this is in that prayer section. I was trying to stir Cyrus up last night. He's going to have fun Sunday. He has three combined Sunday. They're going to combine all their Sunday school classes from, I think, junior high up. And they're going through Acts 2. And his part is on prayer. And he's going to, you know, the prayer and the breaking of bread and before the communist section. And anyway, he's had enough of the prayer material that he's frustrated because he was pumping Don, and then all of a sudden he turns to me and I've been talking to somebody else. I barely got in the middle of that conversation. But I told him, you need to go to 1 Timothy 2 and explain it. Because we drill it here. I drill it any time I teach it. You know, you don't have a colon after prayer. That's number 2 in this list. So it's not the general word. But he says, communicate for kings and for all that are in authority that we may lead a quiet and peaceful biological life in all godliness and honesty. So that we can live. This thing of all godliness in this place where we're not distracted from the opportunity to manifest the life of God in our lives, the life of Christ. Interesting how godliness ties with some important things. I mean, it really, our position triggers that. Okay, so we have clothing, housing, food, whatever we need. Of course, the other necessities, TV, cars, the list. No, I mean, these were basics there. The consequences of the relationship of the flesh, the flesh to the world system and to the eyes, the lust of the eyes and the vainglory of life, involving a creating of an insatiable desire for some things, like onion rings.
Guilty as
charged. I couldn't believe it. He told me yesterday he made his own onion rings.
Have to stick them in the oven. That's hard work.
No, but I mean, the things of the world system. You know, I mean, it is funny. I mean, because of the Woodburn thing, I've gone out to eat on Monday nights for something. I've gotten something. But I'll drive by a place and I'll see what's in the window, see what deals there are. I used to before the onion rings intervened. But but even then, we went up, this picture of this burger they had looked pretty good. And the price was right. And so we both ordered one. How many weeks ago was that? Several weeks ago. And that was about a dud if there ever was a dud burger. And no more. The picture was nice. Food wasn't. But it got us. But it really did look good in that matter. And it's interesting, it's designed so that you have a trust for the world system. You look at how many people have absolute trust in the world system. And they do things that are not too bright. So, comparison and confirmation of control by the world system. The primary purpose for the organizing of the world system by Satan was to control the works of the flesh, founded with the death of Abel by Cain. And so he wanted to put some curbs and controls. We talked about that. If you remember that, it really helps us. I mean, if you go to Carl, you're going to be automatically under the influence of the world system, no matter what. And it can just really, really get you. And then there are particular parts of the world system are designed to deal with certain manifestations of the sin nature. And we've gone through that kind of thing, and the chart on the next page is going to give you some suggestions about it. The personal problem for the believer is to recognize the fact that some parts of the world system do appeal to a particular work of the flesh. And you just have to be aware of it. I mean, a lot of things in the world system aren't bad, but what they do to you can be bad. On it. I've said in the past, if I had opportunity and didn't have a God having a big influence in my life, I could be a perpetual student, because I always enjoy the knowledge, and I am in a sense anyway, because of as much reading as I do, my reading involves getting my head away from the things I'm working on, so that when I'm working on them, I can focus on them better without taking them with me. I get tired of taking some of my studies to bed. And I got up Sunday morning, and I made a list of four things that I needed to consider. I got, and they were sensible. And they were especially sensible when I was in Twilight Land. And so I came back from church, and I looked at my list, and discarded half of them. And it was because I hadn't thought through certain things that I did. I mean, I knew as soon as I saw it that it wouldn't work. But some of the things I did do became important. And so, and whether I would have thought of them, that's the reason I wrote them down, because I thought I might forget them on it. The practical picture for the control of the flesh by the world system can be seen in this following chart. And I'm sorry about the spacing. I don't like to waste paper, but the chart covers most of it. And so you can look that over and evaluate it and think of how these things will the world system will control those works of the flesh. I mean, if you do certain kinds of things, let's just take one that we can kind of easily understand. If you decide you're going to get drunk, what's going to happen? The world system can come, and they had, 22% increase in DUI arrests over the holiday weekend from last year. Because the world system got involved with drunkenness. And you can kind of expect it in that area. And amusements. It's interesting how important alcohol is to certain events. And we used to joke, it wasn't really too funny, but it kind of was. If we went to a professional ball game of any kind, we'd go to a Raiders game or something like that. When I say we, Dale and I, and anybody else went with us, but it was inevitable that somebody behind Dale dumped beer down his back. And it happened, I don't know how many times. We got behind a gal, in front of a gal at a Raiders game. Dale, he doesn't react real quickly sometimes to things like this gal. She was pretty loaded. She had her beer, but when she got excited, she was doing this on his shoulders.
Poor Dale.
And he didn't turn around and pop her. I didn't, She'd beat on him, and then she'd apologize. Then next big play, she'd beat on him some more and apologize. And then she dumped her beer down his back. And it was, I mean, it was important. And I hadn't been involved with pro sports since I've been here much. And I went to a Cincinnati Reds game when I was back east. I don't give a care about baseball, but I had to do something. And I went, and man, I couldn't believe how much beer was going around in that baseball stadium. I mean, it was unbelievable how much, what did they say, the hot dogs, the Indy 500 would have gone around the track three times as they were on in. And that's a big track. You realize that where the Indianapolis 500 is, you could put the Vatican in there and a whole bunch of other things in that infield is so big, which was interesting. So, I mean, drunkenness, the world system does that. But it's interesting, the world system sells the stuff. And in our state and the state to the north of us, they sell it. I mean, it's government business. So they get the biggest cut. And you go to Nevada and you can buy it anywhere, California, with the liquor stores. Now, so, but you see, I mean, those are two, to me, that are pretty evident. I don't know of any human moral religion that has an official pact where they do get drunk as part of it, but some do on the side in some of their things. But that's just a good illustration. Okay, we're going to talk about using and not abusing, and we're going to be tying this down next week. Lord willing, I'll bring the friendly little exercise so you can add that to your collection of notes. Those exams are just an opportunity to, you know, anytime you get curious, you go pull an exam and take it just again to, I don't know how you want to do that. I don't give you two of them. You know, if you had one with the answers on it and the other one just for drill, it would be a good thing.
If you want to change your answers after a year.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's another item we'll be working on for that. So, okay, well, very good. Any questions? Got a little more to go. I think the one, this abuse and use and abuse, this really use and overuse, and well, that's a kind of an important thing that we kind of need to. Some people want to see how close they can get to abuse instead of just using it what's normal. So, Father, may you direct as we carry on our evening. We're thankful for the opportunity to share. May you give us an awareness of these things as we are out in the system, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. And for Jan as she goes into surgery.